War correspondents often face situations of extreme danger in their work, and they frequently witness shocking atrocities. Now, a study published in the American Journal of Psychiatry finds that war correspondents are at a dramatically increased risk of developing severe psychological problems. NPR's Michelle Trudeau has more.
They're known as the Tribe, a small group of journalists who move from war zone to war zone around the world reporting on global conflicts year after year. 140 of these war correspondents volunteered to participate in this study, the first ever, looking at the psychological health of war journalists. Psychiatrist Anthony Feinstein from the University of Toronto headed the study.
There's something quite unique about this war group in that for a long period, 15 years or more, they've been putting themselves in the front line of conflict.
My name is Jeremy Bowen and I work at the BBC. I've worked for the BBC for 18 years and for many years of that I was a foreign correspondent.
Earning Bowen many awards for his television reporting on over a dozen global conflicts.
Starting with the war in El Salvador in 1989, I was in Iraq during the Gulf War in Baghdad, all the wars in former Yugoslavia and Croatia.
One of the things that certainly intrigued me was
Kosovo,
how could an individual spend such a prolonged period of time in zones of conflict
and
manage psychologically?
Somalia, Rwanda, Afghanistan.
Bowen volunteered to participate in the study, as did Janine DiGiovanni, a senior war correspondent for the Times of London. DiGiovanni has spent over a decade reporting on wars around the world. As a participant in Feinstein's study, she was asked to revisit, in her memory, scenes she'd lived through and witnessed.
One of the questions was, have you ever seen a dead body? And, of course, I said yes. And then, how many dead bodies? I couldn't answer that because I've seen hundreds. And after I thought about it and thought, well, okay, let's think back. You know, how many in Rwanda? How many in Zaire? How many in Bosnia? How many in...
As a behavioral scientist, the question that I ask myself is how does that impact on someone? How do they deal with it? And how do they cope with it? And if they don't cope with it, what happens?
In his study, Feinstein also looked at another group of journalists. For comparison, 100 domestic reporters who'd never been in a war zone.
And we found that there were significant differences between the war group and the domestic group.
He was comparing their psychological well-being.
The war group had a lot more symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder and a lot more symptoms of depression, and they tended to use alcohol more freely than the domestic journalists.
Over a quarter of all the war correspondents in the study were likely to have post-traumatic stress disorder at some point during their lives. That's equivalent to the prevalence of PTSD in some groups of military combat vets. The BBC's Jeremy Bowen.
I was with an old friend and colleague in Lebanon in 2000, and that man, who was called Abed Taush, was killed by an Israeli tank shell. I felt that up to then I'd coped pretty well with being in dangerous places. You know, I spent years in Sarajevo. But when this friend of mine was killed in front of my eyes, and then I was pinned down by machine gun fire for a couple of hours after that, unable to get to his aid, even though I knew he would be dead, I started having various symptoms fairly soon after. Bad dreams, particularly bad dreams. You know, I dreamt that all my friends were being killed. Just steadily, every night, I dream that more and more of them were being killed.
I have lost friends. I have.
CNN's chief international correspondent, Christiane Amanpour.
I've seen friends injured, and each time it is a terrible personal blow and a new level of worry and fear and anxiety.
After I came out of Sierra Leone...
War correspondent Janine DiGiovanni.
And I was there for about 5 weeks, seeing, you know, how many people were amputated, children, 9-month-old babies who have been amputated by the rebels. And they were meant to be grotesque reminders of what the rebels would do. So there were many, many, many people amputated. It was horrific.
And so these are very dramatic and at times very traumatic events that individuals witness and experience. And from time to time, they have difficulty processing what they've seen and what they've lived through.
After I came out of Sierra Leone, I flew directly to Paris, and that day I went out for a walk on the street, and the strangest thing happened. I was walking down the street, and suddenly all the people coming towards me were amputees. I actually thought I was mad.
But she was experiencing one of the classic symptoms of PTSD, vividly reliving the earlier horrors that she'd witnessed in Sierra Leone. Now, this study also shows something quite remarkable about war correspondents. The majority, about 75% in this study, are what mental health experts called psychologically resilient. They cope and function extremely well, in spite of witnessing and experiencing devastating traumas time and time again. One key to resiliency, researchers say, is having coping strategies for regaining psychological balance. For instance, war correspondents like Janine DiGiovanni and Christian Amanpour take time between assignments to actively immerse themselves in beauty and calm, in friends and family. And they also use the act of writing as therapy.
I think I am able to tell stories. I use the passion that I feel very deeply to bring back the impact of what I've seen. So I do get rid of a lot of what I feel in telling the story.
And because of psychological resiliency, most war correspondents willingly, even eagerly, go back out to the front line to cover the latest conflict. Amanpour is en route back to Afghanistan. Janine DiGiovanni is off to northern Iraq. But for those war correspondents who do develop persistent PTSD or depression, this study also shows that most do not get any treatment.
I think the research from Anthony Feinstein is incredibly important, but it's just the start.
That's Chris Kramer, now head of CNN International Networks. As a young reporter at the BBC, Kramer was held hostage in an embassy takeover in London. He subsequently developed PTSD, kept it from his boss, and didn't get any psychiatric help. Kramer is now passionate about the importance of providing psychological help for war correspondents and the need to decrease the stigma in the news industry attached to getting help.
To create an environment in the workplace where it's okay to talk about it. It's okay for our staff to say, you know, I really don't want to go to this particular part of the world again, or to say, I'm happy to go back, but, you know, I'd quite like to go off and see someone and talk to someone about it.
Kramer says that most news organizations are not providing the needed support to the one of four war correspondents who will develop serious psychological problems linked to reporting from the world's war zones. Michelle Trudeau, NPR News.